their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
I got to keep changing the way I talk about these things, right? You know, I'm going to change it up. Hey, how are you? You know, right? So, how's it going, Rick?
It's going fine.
Good, good, good.
For a second there, I thought you stopped recording.
No, I'm just being silly. You know, it's okay, you know, we got to give our listeners some reason to laugh. You know, Usually at us, usually at me.
Surprise them.
Yeah. Yes. We could start speaking Russian, but I don't know how to do that. So
I don't either.
Anyway, last week we talked macro stuff, and I just want a quick little follow up because I did a little more testing with the 50 at 1:1, that 50 macro. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's very good. It's actually a little sharper. It's sharper wide open than my old 105G at 1:1. At other things, you know, your mileage may vary, but at 1:1, and especially if you stop it to about F8, it's very, very good. It's not as sharp as the 105, which is insane. But it's very, very good. It's definitely, you know, a nice little lens. And, just as a funny little anecdote, you know, flipping back to the 105, we were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. I did some side-by-side tests, and it's sort of a pain. The focal lengths are a little bit, the effective focal lengths are a little different between the two 105s. But I got out my macro rail, you know, because I do this so that our listeners don't have to, right? And I haven't published my results yet, but I'll just summarize them here. I did the normal, you know, aperture sequence from wide open to f, say, 22, focusing manually, set the camera lens to 1:1, use the focusing rail, tried to frame it up as close together as I could. And the first, you know, I brought it back to my computer, downloaded the shots, and I looked at the sequence from the 105Z, and then I looked at the sequence from the 105G, and I said, crap, I misfocused this. I must have screwed up. Let me go back and redo that shot because clearly it's not in focus. Went back and redid it. Same thing. And that was when I said, okay, the anecdotal, like, you know, when you and I both said, like, you could kind of tell, this was, oh my God.
I was pretty certain.
Yeah, I mean, this just
nailed
it. And
I think you were too, because we've done enough that you can kind of look at the shots. And when you're seeing details that you never saw before, you know there's something going on.
And this is what I concluded. That really the difference, you know, most lenses, you stop them down, you get a little sharper everywhere, including the corners and stuff. And really the only difference between going between, you know, wide open and say F8 to F11 was that the sharpness was almost identical between those shots. You just got a little more depth of field. I could see in my subject where there was a little bit of, it wasn't completely flat, and I got a little better depth of field. That was it. I mean, this thing was just sharp, you know, and I've never tested a lens like that
too.
Yeah. I've never tested a lens where it's as sharp stop down as it is wide open, more or less across the frame. And really the only difference was my depth of field. Yeah. I mean, wow. Okay. Enough about that.
Modern lenses are awfully good.
Yeah, they really are. So that 50 is still in that very good category. And in absence of the 105 Z, it would probably be a little higher.
So anyhow, on that note, we're going to stop talking about macro lenses.
And move on.
And we're going to switch to a new camera that both of us have, the ZFC, the Nikon ZFC. And hooray, these are our personal cameras. These are not cameras on loan or things like that. We paid for them. Having a certain amount of confidence that we would like them. And so what we're going to do today is just talk about our initial impressions on them. We've only had them for a few days. And then we'll talk a little bit about how this camera compares to the Z50, which is a very similar camera under the covers. Looks very different.
Exactly.
It's very similar under the covers. I happen to have one of those too. And I've had it for a while. And as our listeners know that have tuned into a lot of podcasts, I think very well of it, and I still do. So initial impressions. You want to talk first about what went through your head when you first started using it and reactions over a little
bit? Well, I took it out of the box yesterday and posted a little, you know, for people who just indulge on unboxing and first impressions, I put a video on my YouTube channel because I don't know, people seem to like it. But, you know, my first impressions was favorable. Now, what, you know, the feeling that I got is that it's, the construction is fairly robust. And this is a retro styled camera, so you're going to be using dials and rings, right? So the first thing you do is you feel, how are these dials and knobs constructed? How smooth are, you know, how easy are they to use? And the answer is very nice. It's very, very nice. And I will be honest, I really like how this camera looks. because I'm totally biased, and for our listeners, you know, we both shot Nikons way back when, you more than me in terms of models, but my first camera was a Nikon EL2, which was the evolution of the Nikkormat, and it's chrome body, you know, it looks an awful lot like this camera, and it was kind of cool to have something that you know, looked that way. I'll admit it. It looks kind of nice, like to have an old school looking camera. I'm just going to say it, you know, that has nothing to do with anything under the hood. Mm-hmm. But as nice as a camera might look, you still need to be able to use it, right? I mean, that's.
And to clarify, I think, and tell me if I'm wrong in this is a matter of how it looks to you.
Right.
Not how you perceive others looking at it.
Right. No, I just like it because it reminds me of being, it was my first SLR camera. And so this reminds me of that. And it's kind of fun, you know? So, and we both got it with the 16 to 50 DX kit lens, which right now, at least in the US, is pretty much the only configuration that you can buy. So you can go out and buy this today. The kit is in stock, the body only and the 28 millimeter lens, those have been delayed.
I actually wanted it with the 28 since I already had a 16 to 50. That wasn't viable for a while. Looks like it might be a couple months. So I got the 16-50 in silver, which I wasn't sure of at first, but I think it looks pretty good.
But the layout is good. You know, I like that it has front and rear command dials. The knobs are very much reminiscent of what I used to use. So you've got the ISO knob on the left side of the camera, top left, the shutter speed knob dial is on the, you know, right of the prism. And then there's an exposure compensation dial. All of these are very easy to use. The on switch is where you might expect. The shutter is nice. It fits in my hand pretty nicely. I think for me, the getting used to it is that I've been shooting with the Zs now for however long, and I kind of got to unwind my brain. There's fewer controls, like there's no sub joystick on this. There's only one function button on the front instead of two, which is a little bit constraining at times. You have to figure out what your priorities are and how you're going to access certain features. Like if you want to use auto ISO, or you want to use change metering modes, or you want to change autofocus configurations, you kind of have to make a conscious choice. Do I put that on a function button, or do I keep it in the I menu or in the my menu? You know, there's ways to do it, but you have to be aware of it. But favorable. You know, I like the way the camera feels, but again, I'm used to shooting with that. So it brings me back to a time when I was shooting this way.
Yeah. For me, when I first started handling the camera, I was struck by how light it was.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was going to be light, but it seemed even lighter than that. And initially I thought, maybe it's too light. Maybe it feels slightly flimsy. But what I found is that was more of an adjustment thing from using other cameras that were much heavier. Mm-hmm. Even though the Z6 and 7 and cameras like that aren't all that heavy compared you know, historically, they're a lot heavier than this one. And what I found is with just a little bit of shooting time, it actually felt great. Mm-hmm. And it felt solid, and it was just effortless to carry around. I like using a wrist strap with it. I think mm-hmm. that works better than a shoulder strap for me, because mm-hmm. it just doesn't get in the way as much.
Right.
I like the controls. One of the things I don't care for, though, the LCD window on the top that displays aperture, it's just too small. And, you know, a combination of middle-aged eyes and the small display means I have to really concentrate on it to read right. it. What I end up doing is just looking on the LCD panel on the back, because mm-hmm. it's so much easier and larger.
Right.
So that was a little bit of a bummer. I would have liked it bigger. The other thing is, when I first set up the camera, it was a little bit dark. And I was reverting back to the old days. And so I put, you know, the shutter speed dial was in the green position, which I just assumed meant auto. And I started trying to use it like it was on aperture preferred. And it turned out it was on that all auto mode. And so it just wasn't doing anything I wanted. It was confusing the heck out of me. So, you know, I did have a little bit of a fear of the controls indicating things that didn't align with how they were set. And I was starting to think, yeah, this seems like the DF again, which it wasn't my favorite camera. But then I got a little bit more in the groove, and there are a couple things I ended up doing that helped me. One is, if I'm on aperture preferred, I put it on the green third stop setting. Not because I want to use third stops.
You're talking about the shutter speed dial.
Shutter speed dial. Okay. And this is a reminder to me that it's on aperture preferred and that I'm not setting a shutter speed manually. Just looking at it. It just helps me.
Because the dial makes no difference when you're set to aperature. I mean, the dial at that point is irrelevant, right? It's locked
out. It's just an indicator and reminder to me. The other thing is that, you know, the ISO dial does not have an automatic position on it.
Right.
It's a menu setting instead. So it's another one of those hidden things where what the dial shows is not what it's really doing.
Right.
And
the dial would be if you're in auto ISO, the dial indicates your sort of base, your floor. So if you set it to, say, 400 and have auto, then 400 is going to be the lowest it goes.
Yeah, it's a little bit different paradigm than the other one. So what I'm gravitating to with this camera is, well, I'll use auto ISO at times, and I'll just try hard to remember that that's how it's set, and you can see it on the LCD panel on the back. I'm probably going to use fixed ISOs a little bit more with this camera just because it's how it's oriented. And that's not a bad thing, given how easy it is to change them.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you just turn the dial, right? I mean, it's really easy to change that. Yeah. There's no buttons to press. I mean, well, you have to unlock it, but I mean, but yeah.
But that doesn't bother me. It makes it a little bit more of a conscious choice, which isn't bad a lot of the time. And what I found is that course of shooting with it, and I did a little family trip up to the gold mining towns of Victor and Cripple Creek and just did some shooting. And I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. I took the longer kit lens also, the 50 to 250 zoom with me, and the combination of that and the 16 to 50 kit lens worked great. And the results look very nice. You know, the images are good, whether or not you're doing them in RAW or JPEG. The JPEGs were nice, too. I was shooting RAW plus JPEG. I'm pleased with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and we can talk about differences here and minor quibbles in a moment. But, you know, what I really like about this camera and why I bought it, and it was to have a fun camera. I definitely wanted something smaller. you know, my intent with this is literally that this 16 to 50 lens will probably live on this camera most of the time. Like yeah. I may eventually get that 50 to, or the whatever, the 50 to 250, the longer telephoto, mm-hmm. but I'm not chomping at the bit to do that right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could use this for soccer pictures. You could use this for action. You could shoot 11 frames per second, or certainly 8 or 9 frames per second, you know, raw 14 bit. I looked around, I played around with it. I didn't have quite as nice place to go shoot yesterday because my camera came in a little bit late, later in the evening due to a UPS delay. So by the time the battery was charged up, it was already pretty dark. But I mean, I did some available light shooting indoors, ISO 9000, and you know, yeah, there's grain there, but God, it cleans. You know, the sensor is still the same. It's a 21 megapixel or almost 21 megapixel DX sensor. It's an awfully good sensor. The image quality is outstanding. Yeah. And the other thing I found was that the 16 to 50 lens, like you had already indicated last year when we, or whenever we did the Z50 review, it's a pretty darn good lens, all things considered. It's just not fast. So right. you're not going to get that crazy shallow bokeh. But most of the time, that's not what you're looking for a camera like this. I'm thinking like vacation camera, pocketable camera. I just want to have something that's not my phone. And I was able to get this camera hooked up to SnapBridge with minimal pain. It took a little while to get the Bluetooth, but it found it on the first try. and you know, the default sets you up to actually send your photos over as JPEGs to your phone automatically as long as it's running. So the next thing I knew, I realized I had a whole bunch of photos on my phone. The LCD takes some getting used to. It's a different design, but I actually like it. One thing I like about it is that it comes with the LCD reverse, so it's actually protected. You can flip the LCD around so that it is not exposed, which is a nice thing when you're traveling. Mm-hmm. And then you can flip it around to the side, which is kind of great for some video stuff as well, as you know, because you can get any angle you want on that thing, you know, for it, you're not limited in the angles, and you can flip it out for portrait shooting if you're not, you know, using that. And you can flip it around completely and it goes into what's called selfie mode. And I tried that, and with the eye detect focus, nailed it. It was just, you know, and why not? I mean, that was, it was kind of fun. So.
Well, and like you said, I've used the Z50 for a while and same sensor. So, you know, what you've seen so far, in my opinion, is indicative of what it'll do. It holds up quite well in higher ISO conditions. It does a very good job. It's got, you know, a very decent dynamic range. It's not a problem for the kind of shooting I do with it. It's very, very pleasant. Mm-hmm. And this one is the same way.
So let's get down to, I mean, I think because honestly, 98% of the guts of this camera are the Z50. They're basically the same inside, at least from the sensor standpoint. There's a few differences, and someone had already commented on my YouTube video, would you recommend this or the Z50? Because that's the obvious question. Mm-hmm. And you know, this goes back to something we've talked about in the past, which is photography as part of your experience, the shoot, you know, the using the camera as part of the user experience, is that pleasant to you? You know, how do you choose to use
it? Do you care about it?
Do you care about it? And you know, or is it just,
it's a little bit like with cars, right? You could buy a very competent, very reliable car that always starts, but it's boring to drive. And for many, many people, that's just fine. They don't care.
Right.
I kind of like cars that are a little bit more fun, and I'll sacrifice some other things to get that.
Right.
This is a little bit like that. This is, you know, this is the Mazda Miata versus the Toyota Corolla, with the Corolla being the Z50. Mm-hmm. Very competent car, will do everything you want. The Miata is a little bit impractical at times, but it's kind of fun.
Right. You know? Right. Kind of like a Jeep CJ, right?
Yeah, which I used to own. That was
I know. But it has its uses. Well, let's just talk about the major functional differences.
By the way, I don't own a Miata.
I know. I know.
But at least I have a Fiat Spider.
Great. At any rate. But let's just lay out the biggest differences. They're not necessarily pros or cons. They're just differences. Mm-hmm. Starting with the biggest differences that we can come up with. The Z50 has the more traditional Nikon Z control layout. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's got an ISO button, and it's also it has two function buttons. Front it has the grip. It's just a smaller. It's really a smaller Z6, right? It's just, it doesn't have
the. And unlike with the Nikon DSLRs that were less expensive, it does have both a front and a rear control dial, which is a big deal.
Right. The Z50 has a pop-up flash, mm-hmm. which you just have to throw in there as a possible, because you can get these both with the same kind of kit lenses and everything. It's also $100 cheaper right now than the ZFC.
Right.
The ZFC has a little bit of newer electronics or software or whatever is going on
this. I think it's mainly software.
Yeah. So, for example, at least on paper, it has better AF low light sensitivity. For whatever reason, it has the newer autofocus mode options. So it has that face detection, not only in auto area mode, but also in the wide area, large. You got the eye detection, and that's nice. I mean, it really is nice to have some different options for that.
It allows you to bias where the face and eye detection happens in the frame. It
exactly.
doesn't control it within that area. But it biases it toward that area.
And I think the LCD, the way it flips out is frankly a little better than what was on the Z50 for certain things, like for videos and for other things. It may or may not be a big deal, but it is a difference.
It is a difference. There's at least one other little thing that we ran onto, which is, this is a little thing, but it's kind of nice. Historically, Nikon has had grid patterns in the viewfinders.
Oh, yeah.
That were 4x4. With this camera, you have the option of 4x4 or 3x3.
I would love to see that.
Which I prefer.
Out in firmware, because it's a firmware update. It just needs to be. Yeah,
I think it's possible that all these flow back to the Z50 at some point, but I don't know for sure.
Right, and that's the question. If we were sitting here today and saying, well, if the Z50 gets a firmware upgrade to add some of these things, these differences really disappear. But we don't know if that's going to happen. So they both shoot about the same frame rate, same ISO, same sensor, pretty much everything is the same. So then what does it come down to? It comes down to how do you like to use your camera and what are you used to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember using control dials on my camera, so it was kind of nice to have that again. But it's not something I needed. It's just something that I enjoyed. It was an enjoyment thing,
mm-hmm.
in a way of, the experience of shooting. It was nice. It's not like it's the best way to control the camera. Like we said, there's some limitations there. But it's okay for me, and it's kind of fun. It just it makes it a little bit more fun to use.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. But that doesn't make it any better. It's just a different thing.
Yeah. Now, what I would say is, if I were asked the question, someone, and I know both of us have gotten these questions many, many times. So I've been using my phone, or in some cases, that's the only thing they've ever used mm-hmm. to take pictures. Increasingly common these days, but I would like to have a camera to take, a little bit better shots of my family, sporting things like kids playing soccer is the classic one, or other sports. What should I get? For that person, I wouldn't recommend the ZFC. I would continue recommending the Z50 kit, ideally with the two lenses.
Right.
$100 cheaper. It's got the pop-up flash. And the handling is a little bit more straightforward and coherent, especially for a new photography photographer. Similarly, if someone really wanted a camera that handled like their existing Z6 or 7 camera, Z50 is it. It's very similar. It's almost effortless to go back and forth between those cameras.
Especially if you're never going to be in manual mode or anything like that.
Right. And a lot of people just never use that. So you just have to figure out what camp you're in. However, this is a fun little camera.
Yeah, it really is.
For me, and I think for you a little bit, you know, for something that I would be taking around town, taking on vacation trips, I would have more fun using the ZFC.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just would.
And the nostalgia
makes me smile.
The nostalgia isn't about how it looks, although that's cool.
No, and it's not
about how you use it. It's just about.
It's not about how it appears to other people. I actually hate it when people say, "Oh, that's a cool camera" or whatever. I hate that. So that is not a benefit for me.
And you know, and it's definitely lightweight. I mean, both of these are. I mean, I weighed my cameras. Z7, 24 to 70 f/4, great combo, right? It weighs 1,200 grams. Mm-hmm. This thing with the lens on it, with the kit lens, 577 grams.
And I'll go one step more. You add that telephoto zoom that I was talking about, it takes it up to just a kilogram.
Yeah.
1,000 grams, 2.2 pounds.
Which is what my old built like a tank EL2 with 50 millimeter f/2 lens weighs 1,000 grams or just under 1,000 grams, 990.
But in this case, you get the equivalent of 24 millimeters up to 375.
Exactly. So yeah, it's cool. Well, we like it. I you know, we're gonna obviously have to spend more time with it, but you know, I think that's as honest of a assessment as we can get. I mean, as Nikon shooters historically who've used cameras with dials, this is a fun camera. If that's not you, then the learning curve would take a little longer to use, which isn't a bad thing, but it might not be what you're desiring.
The one thing I will say, just and then we'll wrap this up, is that if someone really wants that old style shooting experience, have the shutter speed knob, easy to set ISOs, especially if they want the aperture ring control like you had in the others. Right. The Fuji X-T cameras make more sense.
Yeah.
If that's really what you want is your 24-hour a day, 7-day a week shooting experience, that's what I would recommend someone get. Just because you've got all the lenses that align with that camera, and they work with the aperture rings, and that can be a fun thing. But for a second camera, for a Nikon Z user owner that had that older experience, these are a blast.
Yeah, it's very fun. All right, well, that's all the time that we have for today.
Yep.
Thanks again for listening. Check us out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/imagedoctors, and until next time, happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.